Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. What a blessing, the Christmas program. All those involved, thank you. Those who were leading and those who were serving in many different ways, thank you. It's a blessing. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Luke writes and he says, "Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Let's bow our heads. Father, help us right now to continue to worship. Thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts thus far. And God, speak to us now through your word. We thank you for your word. Father, we acknowledge that it's by your Spirit, through your word, that you will save us. You will sanctify us. God, help us now to just worship you. Fill our hearts with gratitude. Fill our hearts with faith as we look to you. And Father, may we learn about you. May we learn how to trust you this day through this scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is always working to move his people to trust him. Last week in our study, we looked at Joseph, the husband of Mary. And it was from Joseph that we learned that we can trust God when God changes our plans. This morning, I'd like to take just a few minutes and look at another person who is connected with the birth of Jesus, and that person is Mary. Now, just that name itself, the name Mary, might bring many different reactions from different people. You see, for some people, the name Mary means salvation. It means deity. It means the mother of God. And though the Bible does not teach that, for many, Mary is equal or even placed above the Lord Jesus Christ in worship or reverence. That's how some people respond to Mary. For others, Mary is just a character from a childhood story. She probably didn't exist, and even if she did, her life was nothing like that which is revealed in the Bible. But to some, Mary was a real person. And certain events of her life are recorded in this book that we call the Word of God, and there are truths from her life which are beneficial, very beneficial to us today. So again, our proposition in this series of sermons is this, that God is always working to move his people to trust him. And it's from Mary that we will learn today to trust God when things look impossible. You see, folks, when God said to Mary, "I want to use you," it made no sense to Mary. She could not understand God's plan. It sounded impossible. Mary had a choice to make. Would Mary believe God? Would Mary trust God? So this morning, for just a few minutes, let's look now at Mary and how she trusted God. First of all, I want you to see from the Word of God this morning that Mary experienced God's grace. When we consider Mary's life, let's not be carried away with tradition or works of art or the passing of time. You know, sometimes it might be easy to picture Mary with a halo around her head. She did not have a halo around her head. Sometimes we think of Mary and we think of this picture of this lady with this mystical expression on her face. No, she did not have that. Well, maybe sometimes she had that. Mary was an ordinary, plain, young girl with a simple background. In all likelihood, Mary was very young, probably in her late teens, maybe early 20s. In that culture, in that time, marriages were arranged at a very early age. Many times, betrothals occurred when a girl was as young as 12 years old or 13 years old, very young. Mary was probably older because her response to all of this shows a level of maturity. The background of her life is limited. Like we said last week when we talked about Joseph, we just don't know a lot about Mary. She had a sister. Salome was her name, and she's the mother of James and John. She had a relative, Elizabeth, who would also play a key role in Messiah's birth. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. We also know that she is the descendant of the house of King David. We also know she's from Nazareth, no doubt from a poor family, as later events would indicate. We touched upon that last week. We also know that she was taught from the Scripture, because when she praised God, we won't look at it in detail this morning, but when she praised God, she included many quotes from the Old Testament. And so Mary knew the Word of God. She knew the Old Testament. And yet we put all that together, and it's very obvious that she is a virtuous and godly young woman. And of course, the Bible tells us that she was betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. Now we step back and we look at all of those things, all those truths about Mary, and there's not much. These don't seem to be outstanding qualifications. Folks, there were perhaps many other Jewish girls who would have these same qualities. And so the question is, why Mary? Why Mary? And right in the midst of this most important event in her young life, she's about to be married, God now says to her, I want to use you, Mary. And I want to use you in a very special way. Look at verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel Gabriel, the messenger of God, appears to Mary and delivers God's message. And he says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Folks, imagine just for a moment someone knocks on your door and says that to you. Think about what Mary thought about when the angel came to her. Look at verse 30. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. In verse 28, highly favored one. In verse 30, for you have found favor with God. God has seen fit to show you grace, Mary. God has bestowed His grace upon you, Mary. And folks, it's here that we find the answer to that question, why Mary? And actually, we find the answer in our own lives. When God works in our lives, it's an act of God's grace. In whatever way, whatever form God works in our lives, it's an act of His grace. And folks, let's face it, as we think about that just for a moment, that none of us are worthy or none of us are qualified to receive the grace of God. None of us are worthy to be instruments in His hands. I mean, who here today is holy enough to serve in His name? Who here today could look God in the face and say, God, you need me? No. Hold your place in Luke and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look with me at verses 26 to 29. The Apostle Paul helps us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You see, brothers and sisters, these are the kind of people that God uses. These are the kind of people that allow God to display His grace. This is a description of Mary, of you, and of me. And it's only by God's grace, His undeserved kindness and favor, that God has saved us and sanctifies us and uses us. And so whatever God is doing in your life right now, and I emphasize this, whatever God is doing in your life right now, it's an act of His grace. Now look at verse 31, because the angel continues to speak to Mary. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus." And so the angel tells Mary, God has chosen you to bear a son. God wants you, Mary, to be the mother of Messiah. And her reaction, of course, is wonder and amazement. Look at verse 34. "And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And with that statement, we see her humanity, we see her humility, we see her purity, we see her amazement. She says, how can this be? How can this take place? And of course, God's method is miraculous. The Messiah, in accordance to prophecy, would be virgin born. And folks, this makes no sense to Mary. She doesn't understand this. This is simply impossible. Frankly, when we read these words, our thoughts should be the same. This is impossible. I mean, there's no explanation in my human understanding of how this could take place. This is impossible. And look at verse 37. Because the angel's final statement here concludes the whole plan, and actually, I think, declares the foundation of everything that God will bring into Mary's life. And the angel says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Brothers and sisters, if you mark in your Bible, mark that phrase. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Hang that on the doorpost of your life. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Think about your life. Think about the things of life right now. God is working. And God is working in your life and my life by His grace. And it may be difficult. It may be devastating. It may be disastrous. It might just be the normal things of everyday life. But whatever God is doing and whatever God wants you to do, and you don't understand it, and it doesn't make sense, then let this truth move through your heart and through your mind, for with God nothing, nothing shall be impossible. And God can take misplaced, misused, misfitted, misguided, misfortunate, misbehaved, misinformed, mischievous, miserable people like us and put us in impossible situations to transform us into a masterpiece that will glorify Him and bring honor to Him. You see, God, by His grace, is working in your life today. And no one is exempt. If we all stood up and we all wrote down things that are happening in our lives today, then I can say to you, by the authority of the Word of God, God's working in your life by grace. Whatever is taking place in your life right now, God knows exactly what you need and when you need it, and His grace will help you even when you don't understand it and it makes no sense what God is doing. Look at our passage, because we ask ourselves, well, how will Mary trust God in this impossible situation? Well, here's the answer. Mary believed God's word. Look at verse 38. Luke writes and he says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, I thought about this response by Mary and I thought, okay, so how would I respond, or how would most people respond if they experienced what Mary did? What are you doing, God? Do you have the right person, God? Is it me that you want for this? I don't understand this, God. This is too hard. I can't do this, Lord. I can't. But look at Mary's response. Verse 38, she made a decision of faith and submission. She simply said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." And what does that mean? It means, "I'm your servant." Mary recognized the order of authority here. God is her master. She is the servant. Folks, isn't that one of the main problems that we struggle with as Christians? We continually wrestle with the question, who's in charge? Is it me or is it God? I mean, how many times in a day do we ask ourselves this question, what does God want me to do? For example, I'm faced with this problem. What does God want me to do? I'm having difficulties with this person. What does God want me to do? I'm facing a situation that I've never faced before. What does God want me to do? You see, folks, there are lots of Christians who never ask that question. Look at Mary's response. Look at her response to God. She says, "Be it unto me according to your word." And what does that mean? It means, "Not my will, but yours." And folks, there is a way to know God's will. Mary believed God's word. Mary submitted to God's plan by His word. Mary placed her life totally and completely in God's hands according to His word. And brothers and sisters, that is the key to trusting God. Now, do we know what God says in His Word? Do we have God's will? Yes, we do. This Bible that we hold in our hands, this Bible that's before us, is the Word of God. And this is how He directs us, and this is how He guides us. And we cannot know God's will apart from His Word. And yet, how difficult it is for us to submit to the Word of God. Our sin nature fights against it. We are wired to trust ourselves. But remember, God is always working to move us away from this self-trust. And that's what God's doing in Mary's life. And that's what God's doing in my life. And that's what God's doing in your life. So Mary recognized that she was a servant of God. Mary knew who was in charge. And therefore, Mary submitted to God. You know, folks, it always comes down to this question: will we do what we want, or will we do what God wants? I think the sad part in many lives is that we don't try to find out what God wants. And yet it always comes down to that question: will I do what God wants, or will I do what I want? And when I think about that, in many of our lives, the problem is not no submission at all. I mean, we're willing to give some. We're willing even to give much. But are we willing to give all? I mean, how many of us are willing to say to God in every area of life, "I am your servant. Not my will, but yours. Be it unto me according to your word." Mary said yes to God's work in her life. And even in this situation that made no sense and could not be understood, Mary trusted God. And then finally, I want you to notice that Mary accomplished God's purpose. God used Mary. And through her submission, the Son of God was born and God's redemptive plan was accomplished. You know, folks, it's amazing who God will use. It's amazing what God will do with those who were submitted to Him. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Familiar verses, Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Luke writes and he says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." In verse 11, the angels declared to the shepherds concerning this child. They said, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You see, God's plan was accomplished, and God used Mary. Of all people, God used Mary. But brothers and sisters, it would not be easy. I would submit to you that Mary had no idea of the price that she would pay to be an instrument in God's hands. And what this means then is that God's work in our lives is usually not easy. It's hard and it's difficult and it's impossible things that God really uses to change us. What were the hard things in Mary's life? Well, think about it just for a moment. How would Mary explain her pregnancy? What about her relationship with Joseph? What about her reputation? And folks, these things would follow her all of her life. And whatever the cost and whatever the price, let come what may, Mary trusted God. And if there's a single lesson that we can get from the life of Mary, it has to be this. Mary trusted God. She obeyed Him. She trusted Him. And that trust in God would even take her to a hill outside of the city of Jerusalem when she would see with her own eyes the terrible suffering and death of her own son, Jesus, for the sins of the world. And you see, folks, Mary not only trusted God as God would use her in this plan of redemption, but Mary herself would have to put her trust in her son who died for her and who was raised from the dead. You see, our trust in God never stops. God is always working to move us to trust Him. This trust in God never ends in our lives. But this trust in God brings great gain. When I think of Mary's life, she was known as the servant of God, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She rejoiced in God, Luke chapter 1, verse 47. She received blessings from God, Luke chapter 1, verse 48. And God did great things for her, Luke chapter 1. Verse 49, Mary trusted God, and God used her to accomplish His purpose. When God works in your life, and God's working in your lives right now, and when He works in your life, and it's not easy, and it makes no sense, and it looks impossible, the question is, how will you respond? How will you respond to the work of God? Mary trusted God. May that be our response to God's work of grace in our lives. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just want to thank You for this time of worship this morning. Our thoughts, our attention has been focused on You and what You've done for us through Jesus. And we've been reminded through the program earlier, and God, even now, through a glimpse of the life of Mary, that we need to trust You. Help us, Father. Help us in our weakness. I acknowledge that apart from Your work in our hearts, we can't do this. We trust ourselves. We go our own way. And yet, God, You are so gracious. You're so merciful. You extend to us your grace. And God, you work in our hearts and lives. Thank you for that work. Help us now to humbly respond to you, to believe your word, to trust you in all that you're doing in our lives today and tomorrow and in the days to come. And Father, most of all, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith, their trust in Jesus, the God-man, crucified and raised from the dead, Father, I pray that today would be that day when you grant them repentance and you give them light in blindness and you bring them to yourself for your great glory. Work in hearts today, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.